Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network for hour number two of Fantasy Sports Today. And George Kurtz, got Sean Angle working the boards, producing our show, keeping us flying straight. And a big day, a big weekend of drafts. We've got NFBC high stakes fantasy baseball drafts going on. Live coverage of that starting at noon today. We've got Greg Sussman, Joe Pisapia, and former major league pitcher Brad Ziegler at the Stewart Hotel, giving us live coverage of that. Also, Tout Wars going on this weekend as well. So lots of talented people drafting this weekend, George.
Yeah, like I said, it'll be a very big draft weekend with, I guess, the season technically starting on Thursday in Japan, Oakland and Seattle. Everybody wants to get their teams, their leagues drafted before then, so it makes sense. I get it. You're going to have to see a lot of drafts next weekend as well. They'll just they'll retro play in the two games they played in. And I always find that funny because, you know, I mean, it's not going to change the value of a Chris Davis. Right? He's going to go in round two, round three anyway. But let's say Mike Fiers.
Chris.
Yeah. Yes. The one with a C. Yeah. Unless you're in a reverse league where you get points for strikeouts, I wouldn't take Chris Davis with a C. But if someone like Chris Davis on Oakland, you know, no matter what he does, he's going to be drafted where he normally would. But, you know, Mike Fiers, imagine, what if he pitches eight innings of shutout ball in game one? Does that change his value? Because all of a sudden you're getting those eight innings, especially in a head-to-head league. You know, where if you're drafting after and he goes, all of a sudden, wow, you know, you get that. Do you move up your draft board a little bit? Because that could pretty much win you game a week one all by himself. And I do expect that he'll get another start. You know, he'll be one of those few, actually, I should say one of the few, maybe the only one who gets two starts in week one. Because once again, baseball starts on a Thursday. You know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you're not going to have two starts weeks in week one. You'll have them in week two, except for the Seattle and Oakland starters here. Now, they haven't announced if they're going to do that, Seattle or Oakland. I imagine they would. My thinking is they will, but we don't know that for sure. So I find it interesting to see what they'll do. But like I said, what if Fiers has a big game? You know, what if some hitter that you normally wouldn't draft has a big game? You know, does he get moved up? I understand when you look at Seattle, there's not too many hitters on Seattle you want, maybe outside of Haniger, D. Gordon. You know, and they're going to go where they're going to go. Blake Train in the closer for Oakland will go where he goes. You know, but let's say Hunter Strickland gets two saves. Seattle wins both games, and Strickland gets two saves. You know, does he move up draft boards? You know, so I always find that intriguing.
Knee-jerk reaction,
how that works out.
Could.
Right, exactly. People realize, this is still a marathon, not a sprint. Everything's going to go back to the mean. But in head-to-head leagues, that's all different. You know, that's winning you a week, maybe. So I'm curious to see how this will work out.
Very interesting, yes. So let's get back to breaking down the AL East. We were talking a little Boston Red Sox. We left off with Chris Sale. What about David Price? Bounce back season, 30 starts, 16 wins. Of course, on a team with 108 wins, you know, it's apropos that you would win 16 games. A picture of David Price's stature, right? 3.58 ERA. He's been having issues of with his health over the past few years. Been giving up the home run at a higher rate over the past three seasons as well. Lost a couple of ticks off his fastball over the past couple of years, but compensating that by throwing his cutter a little bit more. I mean, what do you think about David Price? Do you think that his issues are behind him? Are you reluctant to draft him, or is he somebody that you target?
He's someone I'm targeting in drafts. I think he should have been the MVP of the World Series and not Stephen Pierce. I think Price saved their bacon there. I think he pitched that well. Not that Pierce didn't play well, he did, but I would have voted for Price. So, yeah, I'm in on Price. I may not start him when they're facing the Yankees. That hasn't gone well for him the past couple of years, and I don't know if that changes. Once again, lefty against that lineup, especially not a true dominating them, not like Chris Sale. Sale doesn't seem to have an issue here, but Price does. I think it could be in his head as well. So, I'm not starting him against the Yankees, but against all other teams, yeah, I'm fairly confident he's going to have a pretty good season. Listen, I'm high on all the Red Sox. They're going to win 100 games, too. The worst part of the Red Sox team is the bullpen. You know, they've got some issues there, but they're going to score a ton of runs. They're going to pitch well, so yeah. Sale, Price, Erod, another guy I like there. Porcello, maybe not the strikeout enough batters for me, but he'll get W's also. So that's why it's hard not to like these guys. I think Rafael Devers is going to have a bounce back season. You know, I like Xander Bogaerts in his free agent year. So you give me a Red Sox. I think yesterday in that mock, I took 7 of them. You know, the value just kept falling to me. You know, I think J.D. Martinez round one. I ended up with Price. I ended up with Devers late. Xander Bogaerts, I thought I got it at a good price. Erod, Eduardo Rodriguez, another guy who I think could step up this year. I've got him. So I think the Red Sox are going to be just fine this year. And as far as that mock is concerned, they better be.
Yeah. What do you think about Andrew Benintendi? Batted from the two slot for most of last season. He's going to lead off this year. 290, 16 home runs, 21 stolen bases last season. At 5'10 and 170, do you ever think he gains that man strength and becomes a guy that could, you could count on for 20 plus home runs in a year?
I think Benintendi's a very good hitter. I don't like the fact he's hitting leadoff. I'd rather see him hit a little further down the line up there, but it is what it is. They have too many good hitters there. Someone's got a bad leadoff, which I think hurts him. Hurts his value a little bit, not all that much. Something I don't seem to be ending up with in drafts, and I don't know why. You know, I said I drafted 7 Red Sox yesterday. Benintendi wasn't one of them. Just seems to go before I get a chance to nab him, but I have nothing against him. I think he's going to be just fine. Does he hit for the power you're talking about? I'm not drafting him for it. You know, I think he's more of an all-around hitter than a pure power hitter, and I do wonder if he does try and hit home runs, does that hurt the average? You know, so that might be something I actually be concerned about, and maybe I don't want from Benintendi because I'm drafting him for more of the average, more of the overall player. And we need average. Let's face it, we need average, especially if you're going to draft someone like Joey Gallo. Because if you're going to draft Gallo, well, then you're going to lose that average just to hit those home runs. So, listen, I think he could hit around 20. I have penciled in for 18 to 22, somewhere in that range. So I think he'll be fine there. Another 90 RBI. He's going to steal you 20 bases, which I love, and give you a plus average. I'm not complaining about the fact that he might not hit 25 home runs. I can live with it.
So you mentioned the Red Sox bullpen. Who do you think ends up being the closer? Is it still Matt Barnes? Is he still the favorite to close out games? Ryan Brazier also mentioned as a potential closer for the Red Sox. I mean, do you think that Barnes is the guy, or maybe they could share the closer job?
Well, I think it would have been a competition in spring if Brazier was healthy. He's not. He's got the toe injury, so he hasn't pitched yet. So he's sort of taken himself out of that competition. You know, so I think it is going to be Barnes to at least start the season. But listen, Joe, I write the closer report. I've been writing it for, 8, 9, 10 years. And I say the same thing every year. There are 30 closers in baseball. By July 1st, 15 won't have the job anymore, if not more. And Boston will be one of those guys. It doesn't matter who starts. By July 1st, that person won't have the job. You know, my home league the other night, I had a team. And I thought this was a pretty good move by him. I forget what pick he had, but he had back-to-back picks in like round 14, round 15. He took both. Took Barnes and Brazier. I laughed. I'm like, what makes sense? Now he's covered. You know, he's covered for at least the beginning of the season. He can just go with everyone's name to start and drop the other one and grab whoever he wants to grab. So I like the move here. But the bottom line is, I think they're going to upgrade eventually. I think the Red Sox are being very cautious. The Yankees didn't. Maybe even before that, depending on who becomes available. But like the Yankees not going after Harper and Machado because they're worried about having to sign Judge, having to sign Torres, Sanchez, when all these contracts come due. The Red Sox have the same problem. They're over the cap as well. Mookie Betts, Chris Sale, Xander Bogaerts, Benintendi. These are all guys going to get major, major contracts. There's a reason the Red Sox didn't bring back Craig Kimbrell. Well, two reasons. One is because, once again, money. They got to save somewhere. And two is, I think, because they think Kimbrell's on the way down. I think that's the issue there. But they're going to have to acquire somebody, or someone's going to have to step out, because I don't think Barnes is the answer. I don't think Brashear is the answer. You know, I don't see – when you look at their depth here, I don't see it on the team right now. And Tyler Thornburg, is he going to step up? You know, I don't know. I don't think so. Hector Velasquez? No. I don't think they have a closer on their team right now. So it's weird to look at the Red Sox. Great team, World Series champion, not have a closer. Doesn't that tell you all you need to know? Isn't that one of the reasons why teams are scared of Craig Kimbrell? Because he didn't pitch very well last year. Lost control of the strike zone. Pretty much had to be replaced in the World Series because he was awful. And now he wanted a six-year, $100 million contract, which, of course, was never going to happen. But now I don't know if anybody wants him for a 1-2-year deal. So I think and the fact that the Red Sox aren't in on it at all, that they're not making any calls to him to see if they can get him on a reduced 1-year deal, see if he can rebuild his value. If I'm another team thinking about signing Kimbrell, this is all I need to hear. Is that, wow, the Sox aren't even interested at all? They're not making any phone calls? What the hell is going on here?
Yeah, I'm just happy that the rumors about him going to the Nats, because I had drafted Doolittle, supposedly a squash right now. But
well, someone's going to get screwed. He's going to sign with somebody. And the Nats don't want to go above that luxury tax. The team learns they're high. They don't want. It makes no sense, by the way. You're Washington Nationals. Who cares? You got to pay a couple of extra million, which is all it would be. And then you're worried about this. Yeah, you're really worried about winning. Every team would make sense. Nats would make sense. The Braves would make sense.
You mentioned the Twins. You mentioned
the Minnesota Twins. I think would make a lot of sense. The fact that none of these teams wants to either. He's still asking for way out of line money, which at this point I can't see that he's doing it. Or the medicals aren't coming back very well here. It just hasn't gotten out yet. The teams are just so wary
Cubs.
Of this.
What do you think about him going to the Cubs? The
Cubs didn't spend any money this winter. Do I think they need him? Yeah. Absolutely. Brandon Morrow's not back till May. Pedro Strop is now not pitching for another couple of days. He's got the hamstring injury. And let's face it, that hamstring injury has to worry you, because he had the same thing at the end of last season. Remember, he suffered that at the end of September. And I know they say it's not the same injury. BS. All right, what it means is he was probably favoring it, and now he suffered a different hamstring injury. So it is the same injury. And now he's got it again. I mean, you don't have a closer right now. So I think the Cubs would make sense too, but they're not spending any money. You know, the Nova team is not spending money. They didn't spend any money in the offseason. So, but they would make sense. I mean, listen, I think Kimbrell has to close for a team because it's a lot of it's ego. You're not going to be able to get him as an eighth inning setup guy. But, if he would, I mean, the Mets would make sense too. They're going to be the eighth inning guy behind Edwin Diaz. And Familia, that'd be a great bullpen all of a sudden. There are plenty of teams that make sense for Craig Kimbrell. The problem is, like I said, are you worried about his injury history? The fact that he lost the strike zone last year, and the money he still wants to make. Let's face it, no matter what he signs for, it's going to be an embarrassment. He wanted 6 years, over $100 million. So now, what's he going to sign for, Joe? 1 year, $10 million? 2 year, $24 million? I mean, it's an embarrassment all around here. Same thing's going on with Keuchel. Same thing. He wanted a big over $100 million contract for a starter, and now he's going to have to accept a 1-2-3-year deal at max. And also, when it regards to Keuchel, it's March 16th. I know his agent said, I think his agent's Boris, that he threw an 80-game, the agent set up a zone spring training, threw an 80-pitch. 80-pitch game the other day, which is, once again, that's all hyperbole and speaking. Great. Is it against major league hitters? No. Then I don't want to hear it. So we'll see how that works out, too. But the bottom line is this: for Kimbrell and Keuchel, you're signing them now. When are they going to be able to pitch? Mid-April? May 1st? That didn't work out well last year for these guys who signed late. Greg Holland? He was terrible. When you miss all of spring training, I mean, it just doesn't seem to work out well. I know this is a very small sample size because it's only really the last couple of years this is happening now, but it's not really working out well. And we can go back a couple of years when these guys they weren't able to sign with their original teams like May 15th or whatever it was because they didn't accept their qualifying offer. And that didn't work out well then either. When you miss spring training, think about the same thing with football. When you miss training camp, it generally doesn't work out very well for you. And that's why another reason especially why teams are going to be so cautious and hard on these guys. I wouldn't sign them.
That's an excellent point. There was a a signing last week, but for an outfielder, Adam Jones. I almost called him Andrew Jones. I think it's easier for a position player to step in and be effective as opposed to a pitcher. What'd you think of that signing? Do you think that Adam Jones has much fantasy value going forward? I mean, I think he hit just 15 home runs last year, but the Diamondbacks still have a – I know they added that humidor, but they're still a decent hitter's park. Question is whether he gets enough at-bats too, right?
I think he's miscast as a center fielder right now. Probably needs to play the corner. Yeah. I love Adam Jones. Fantastic player, great guy for the clubhouse and everything else that comes along with it. But he's miscast as a center fielder, especially in that ballpark, which is huge. The ball may fly. Well, not fly like it used to, as you said, the humidor. But for him to cover all that ground, probably not good at this point in his career. They say Marte might also play center field. So that would be interesting there. I think Jones could still hit somewhat, but I don't think he's a guy you want playing 160 games. He's probably not guy you want playing 130, 140, give him a day off a week, that sort of thing. So fantasy-wise, he's a reserve player late, see what happens. I wouldn't really be going out of my way to grab him.
Probably more valuable in deeper leagues, 15-plus teams. Just as we finish up with the Red Sox, what do you think about that over-under number? It was a 94.5. Does the mystery surrounding their bullpen hurt them? Do you think they could exceed that 94.5, that over-under win total?
Yeah, I think they'll go over. Once again, same thing. Very good team. The starting rotation, Sale, Erod, Price, Porcello, Nathan Eovaldi. They can hit like there's no tomorrow. And their schedule is going to be just as cake as the Yankees. Same schedule. Just a different order of playing team. So I'll go over for Boston as well. The bullpen does scare me, but that'd be more of a when you're playing good teams. If the Yankees knock Price out early and they get to that bullpen, it could be an ugly series for the Red Sox. That sort of thing. But I think the Sox will look to fix that during the season.
Very good. Got a couple minutes before we head to commercial. So why don't we just continue talking AL East baseball. Tampa Bay Rays. A little under 1 minute as per producer extraordinaire, Mr. Engel. Rays were 90-72 last year. Kind of surprising they hit that 90 mark there, George, but they're over under total 84.5. And they introduced the opener to us. And I'm sure there's going to be some copycats, especially that the Rays won 90 games last year.
Of course. Sports is mainly a copycat league. We see it in football all the time, right? Rays, surprise team, good team. Same thing this season. It's a shame they play in the American League East. They've got no chance to catch the Yankees or Red Sox, but they'll be a good team this season.
Very good. Yeah, when we come back, we'll break down some of the more fantasy-relevant players on the Tampa Bay Rays. Listening to Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back. Not to the jungle, to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today. Little Guns N' Roses action bringing us back. Joe Galina along with George Kurtz, Sean Engel producing our show. Big day of programming here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Starting at noon, you catch live coverage of the NFBC High Stakes Fantasy Baseball Drafts with Greg Sussman, Joe Pisapia, former Major League pitcher Brad Ziegler. Frankie Stanfield will be drafting at the main event for the NFBC. Also, a Tout Wars going on this weekend. We're talking a little Tampa Bay Rays. We're going through the AL East to start off the show. Tampa Bay Rays, 90-72 last year, 84.5 over under. Win total number. And, you know, Blake Snell, man. 21-5, Cy Young Award winner, 21-5, 1.89 ERA, 0.974 whip, 11 K per nine. Velocity was up a couple of ticks last season. There's going to be regression. I mean, you look at, 241 BABIP, that's going to normalize, right? 88% strand rate, that'll normalize. But I still think he's, one of the top pitchers in baseball. I don't think it's going to regress that much that you shouldn't draft him. But something else that might do him in is his walk total, 3.2 walk per nine, which was lower over his previous years, but still continues to be an issue. Where do you stand with Blake Snell?
I would agree with most of what you said there. I think Snell will regress somewhat. Another guy I don't seem to be landing on any of my teams, so I obviously mm-hmm. have some trust issues there. I mean, it's tough. He's going to pitch a lot of games in the American League East. That's a lot of games against the Yankees, a lot of games against the Red Sox, and those teams will grind you down. You know, they just will grind you down where you're not going to last long. You're not going to go 8-9 innings against these guys. They're going to do their best to get to you early and get you out of the game here. And you mentioned he can be wild at times, which means, mm-hmm. I mean, is he wild because he's wild or is he wild because he's trying to hit corners? You know, he's missing here. So while I like Snell, but I'm not ending up with him. Don't have him in any leagues here, so I'm not surprised if he regresses some. That being said, I do like him. I'm not saying stay away from him. I'm not saying stay away from him at all. I'm not avoiding him. I'm just not ending up with
him. I agree.
There's certain players that I just, that just like that for me. I mentioned Benintendi. I love Benintendi, but I don't end up with him on my teams for whatever reason. Snell's another guy, same thing. Maybe it's because when I can grab him, I'm always grabbing other guys that are right around him that I prefer better. He seems, it's funny, on the draft rankings I use, usually I just print out an ESPN sheet. You know, I'm not saying I go by their rankings. You know, it's not the Bible. I make my own little notes for guys I want there. But as far as a cheat sheet, it's a nice, easy printout. I think Snell is like 17th on their rankings, but he's being drafted around 10th overall. So he's going earlier than what their rankings are as well. So there are people who believe in him, and maybe he's going around earlier than I would prefer.
Yeah, his NFBC ADP is 30, so that would put him in a 12-team league somewhere around the third round. But I seem to think that he might go a little earlier than that. You know, probably a solid second-round pick, right?
Yeah, pitching, it's weird in drafts. I've seen some leagues where no pitchers go in the first round. Then other leagues, there are three pitchers going in the first round. Scherzer, right. DeGrom, Sale. You don't know how pitching is going to work out. There's always runs where people want to – because most of us want – we all talk strategy, but most of us have the same basic strategy. We all want an ace. And there aren't a lot of aces out there. There's a lot of good pitchers out there, but not a lot of true aces out there. That gets a little it gets a little depleted real quick. Scherzer, DeGrom, Sale, Verlander, Nola, and then even after that, what's our next grouping here as far as aces go here?
Did you mention Cole?
I think it's, once again, is he the first tier? Or is he, once again, you're taking a little drop there to go to Cole in the second tier. That's what I'm saying there. Cole, Kluber, Syndergaard, Snell, guys like that. Carrasco, maybe you want to throw in there. And is that tier? It depends on how you tier things up here. And then the next tier could have been Severino if he was healthy. I think he drops another tier now. Trevor Bauer, Strasburg, another guy who can't stay healthy. And I get scared because after that it gets scary. Because Buehler, I like Buehler, but it could be an innings limit. He's not just playing, making his Cactus debut this week. What do you think about him? Madison Bumgarner, does he have anything left? Zach Greinke, that team's going to be bad. Not the same team they used to be. Kershaw and all his problems that come along with it. Fulton Ewich, he may not be back till mid-April as well. Paxton, what's he going to do in New York? And he now also seems to get hurt every year. So it's a lot of intriguing things that are going on in pitching. That's why everybody and their mother wants one of those top starters. I know I do.
Yeah, I do as well. For the most part, I agree with what you said. A lot of us are on the same page with this. And then it gets a little subjective where, I said Cole, and you're like, it sounded like he might be more of a second-tier guy for you. But, who knows? what he did last year, 276 strikeouts, two straight years of, well, 3 out of 4 years with 200 or more innings pitched. So an intriguing option as well, pitching for a good team like the Astros. But back to the Rays, Charlie Morton coming off of two straight solid seasons, career high 30 starts last year. When you look at his velocity, it's actually increased, and he's not a kid. You know, 2015 his average fastball velocity 93, and then last season was 96 plus. Also had the 10th lowest hard hit percentage against, with just under 30%. What do you think about Charlie Morton? And I guess it also stands to reason, like you mentioned, you know, that AL East tough to pitch in, but you know, he seems to have found somewhat of the fountain of youth, this guy.
He's figured it out, whatever it might be. It took him a long time, but he figured it out. But we've seen other pitchers like this throughout the years. Guys who just take a long time before they truly figure out how to pitch around contact or to contact, whatever it might be. So I like Charlie Morton. He's a guy I am ending up with in a lot of leagues. Probably half the leagues I'm in right now. I do like what he can do. He's got good stuff. His problem seems to be not trusting it at times, where his pitch count gets up there, where he can't make it. You know, he's what I call a 5 2/3 guy. He's always missing that quality start by an out or two because his pitch count gets up there over 100 so quickly. Now, you mentioned him. Once again, it's a lot of starts against the Yankees and the Red Sox that he's going to have to go through. You know, and even, listen, facing Toronto and Baltimore and those ballparks isn't any fun either. But he's also going to pitch his games now in Tampa Bay where the ball doesn't travel. Right, whether it's a good pitcher's ballpark. I like Charlie Morton. I think I have him as an SP on that SP3, SP4 border, and he's a guy I wouldn't say I'm aiming for, but I'm looking at. He's, well, when I make my little draft list, you know, I mentioned that that ESPN spreadsheet that I like to use because it's an easy printout. I always highlight guys that they have much lower than I have them much higher than they have because I don't want to forget about them. You know, so I put them in a different order, and Morton's one of them. Eduardo Rodriguez is one of the guys who I expected to do better than what they're giving credit for on these sites. You know, Jonathan Scope at second base, I think he'll be better. Andujar Endeavors at third base, the Yankees and Red Sox, I think are going to do better. And I don't want to forget about him. Josh Donaldson, Moustakas, you know, guys who are just, in my mind, are ranked way too low for what I expect them to do. And also, on these sheets, just a little helpful hit for people, I also highlight one category, guys. You know, I know in my drafts, Joe, unless I get Trey Turner around one, I'm going to have a problem with speed. So I better look for the Malik Smith at some point during the draft. You know, and he's a guy who's 35th on the ESPN list I'm looking at right now. But I'll need him. Byron Buxton. I'll need him. Billy Hamilton. D. Gordon. Guys, I understand they don't help you anywhere else, but I need to represent in that stolen base category or I'm not going to do very well. You know, so those Greg are always Allen guys I the, highlight there.
The Indians.
Greg Allen, another great. You can get him very late, by the way. Greg Allen. People forgetting about him. And he's the same as the other guys. Yeah, and once again, the same. And once
having
you
a nice
start five
too.
Outfielders, you start five outfielders in these leagues. There's nothing wrong with taking a speed guy in the outfield. I'd much rather have an outfielder be my speed guy than a pure second baseman where I could have done better. When you have five outfielders, even if you don't draft speed guys, you're going to have a problem at the bottom of those outfields. No one's going to get five great outfielders unless you're drafting five of the first eight picks.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned Malik Smith, and he's a guy that's been on my radar. Well, yeah, I'm a little nervous, though, that he's been dealing with this elbow issue. And I don't know if the Mariners are just being extra cautious or whatnot, but I don't think he's had any at-bats this spring. And you just hope that, you know, there's not an issue there. But because, like you said, I mean, based on his ability to steal bases, a lot of value with where you get him in drafts late.
And that's what we like,
for average,
right?
Yeah.
We like value. I know I like value.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, he's, you know, like Billy Hamilton's another guy. But at least you know when you're drafting Malik Smith, if he's healthy, that you're likely to get, a 20 or 30-point higher batting average than a guy like Billy Hamilton, who's a true one-category guy. Gives you a little help in a category that's very hard to fill, though.
It is. And listen, the Royals are going to be a good source of stolen bases because, let's face it, they're not going to score many runs. All right? They're going to have to figure it out any way possible to score runs. So they're going to be run wild, I think. Because once again, you got to figure out something. Hit runs, move the bases, you know, whatever you can do. They're not going to hit a lot of home runs. They're not going to hit 18 singles in a row. So they're going to have to manufacture runs any way possible. They're going to steal a lot. Billy Hamilton, Mondesi, Merrifield. I expect them all to run and run wild.
Mm-hmm. Tyler Glasnow got some attention when his velocity was up this spring, former Pirates top prospect, but I don't really think he should be on too many teams this year. How do you feel about Tyler Glasnow closing out the starting rotation for the Rays?
Well, listen, I don't mind. He's an interesting guy because he can also be used as a reliever. So if things go wrong for you in your closer hunt there, you can throw him in there. Let's face it, there aren't enough closers to go around. You know, that's going to be a problem here. So his velocity is up a tick or two, and we like to see that. Mm-hmm. Always nice. The problem is going to be this with Glasnow. 111 innings last year. How many is he going to throw this year? If the Rays, and I don't know if the Rays do or don't believe. Nobody really does. If they only believe in the 40-inning bump, that's 150 innings. That might not get you to August. Early August at the best. So I think he's someone you need to make contingency plans for. You know, where, I got him for a couple of months, then I have to move him, I have to trade him, or I better have a very deep pitching staff that I can cover for him. That sort of thing. I like Glasnow. I do. I think he does rebound somewhat. Not that he's going to be some great guy, Joe. He's a double-digit round guy as far as drafting. Mm-hmm. But I don't mind adding him, but I also know eventually I'm going to have to subtract him as well because I just don't know how deep he's going to go into the season. Or is he also going to be, right. Are they going to skip him starts? Are they going to, you're a five-inning guy, save innings. You know, is he the guy who they're going to have a start, an opener every game for? Because once again, save his innings. Have him go, if the opening goes one innings, he goes five, well, now we're into the seventh. You know, and they'll fill it out from there. So I think there's a lot of issues there. You're not going to get many quality starts from Glasnow, not because of bad pitching, but because he's not going to go six innings.
Very good point. A couple of youngsters, I guess you call them second-year players because they've had some experience already. Willy Adames, shortstop for the Rays, and Austin Meadows, former top prospect for the Pirates, outfielders. So what do you think about, Austin Meadows? Everyone is in on Eloy Jimenez and Vlad Guerrero Jr. Then you got Meadows, who really nobody ever really talks about, it seems. Having a good spring, good contact skills, got some power, some speed. Shouldn't kill your batting average. If things work right, I think if he gets a 500 at-bats, you could be looking at upwards of 20 home runs and 15 steals.
You could, and what's going to this value there? Amazing in Pittsburgh, right? Glasnow and Meadows, both once top prospects. And I mean top prospects, both these guys. And they had to get rid of both. Didn't work out there for Pittsburgh at all. One of the reasons why Pittsburgh is where they are. You know, they're sort of a bottom feeder now in the
And we talked Gerrit Cole.
Central.
Gerrit Cole, former Pirate.
Gerrit Cole, right? Yeah. McCutchen they had to move on from because they couldn't pay him. Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes on and on with Pittsburgh. They had some good, talented players. Gregory Polanco's never worked out for them. You know, shame. Mm-hmm. They did draft well, but the players didn't... It just didn't work out for whatever reason. Meadows, he was once a top prospect. Maybe not quite as top as a Guerrero or Jimenez, but he was once an easy top 50 prospect in baseball. Mm-hmm, but I think what you said is correct.
Not in that Guerrero-Jimenez class. Mm-hmm.
I think what you said is correct. Double-digit home runs, double-digit steals with an average that shouldn't hurt you. It may not help you all that much either. It should be about league average. I don't know if he's going to bat 290. Or something like that. But I think 270, 275 is possible with a little power. Once again, I'll say it again. Even if you're in a 12-team league, and I know 15-team leagues are more popular now, you're starting 60 outfielders. 15-team, you're starting 75. Look at that. Quick math. So we need outfielders. They're all going to be taken. Mm-hmm. You think all these outfielders are going to be taken. You can get Meadows at value. For me, what I like about Meadows is I know everybody needs to know how they draft. I know when I draft, I'm not drafting steals early. I could get Trey Turner in the first round, which would change things a lot because I like Trey Turner. But I'm not taking Whit Merrifield in round three. I'm just not. You know, I'm not going to bank he's going to hit those 20 home runs again. They really make him worth a round three player for me. And if he doesn't hit those 20 home runs, well, he's a one category guy. You know, it's granted it's an important category, but he's a one category guy. I can find that category. I can draft the Malik Smith or D. Gordon later. That's the way I look at it with Merrifield. Like the player, but I can't bank him with 20 home runs. But if I draft a couple of guys like Meadows, you know, I'm not trying to win the stolen base category, Joe. I just don't want to finish last. You know, if I could finish in the middle of the pack and get, you know, a 12-team league, if I can get 6 points out of a stolen base, I'm fine with that. Fine. Right. I'll take six plays and get my 6 points and move on. You know, that's all I'm aiming for there. I know that. I'll make up for it in power or in wins, stolen base, whatever, saves, whatever it might be. I know in the saves category, I'll do better than most because I'll pay attention during the year and I'll pick up those closers who will become available. You know, I'll bank on that. So I just trust the way I'm going to play and how I go about things. And I think fantasy owners need to realize that. If you're not someone who's going to pay attention during the year, well, then you better get some closers. You better get some stolen base guys early. Speed can be found during the year. Power is much more difficult.
Talking about guys that could chip in a little bit at the stolen base position is a guy I just mentioned before we talked to Meadows, and I guess we have less than a minute left, but Willy Adames, shortstop, made his major league debut last year, 10 home runs, 6 stolen bases, and 288 at-bats. That's pretty much what he's done throughout his minor league career. A little power, a little speed, decent batting average for his minor league career, a .278 batting average in his short time in the majors so far. But see, maybe a late round draft for you, maybe somebody that you could sneak in at the middle infield position.
Exactly what you said. Middle infield, fine. Middle infield is deeper than what we're giving credit for. Shortstops goes 12, 13, 14 deep. I mean, I'm seeing Andrews drafted so late that people don't even want him. He had one bad year. Once again, stolen base guy, DeJong, Profar. So I have no problem grabbing someone like Adams later. I think there's upside here as well. Another guy's, I don't want to say a top prospect, but a prospect this guy can hit. He'll hit some power for you. I like Adams.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll finish our discussion about the Rays. Then we'll move on to the Blue Jays. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today on Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and catch FNTSY Sports Radio Network's coverage of day two of the NFBC High Stakes Fantasy Baseball Draft starting at 12 p.m. Eastern Time today, live from the Stewart Hotel in New York City, as industry professionals go at it, auction style, vying for $7,000 league prizes and a $150,000 grand prize. The NFBC has paid over $23 million in fantasy baseball prizes during its first 15 seasons. And with that kind of money on the line, these drafts are a great benchmark to use when prepping for your own. Follow all the fantasy baseball action with Greg Sussman, Frank Stanfield, Joe Pisapia, and former Major League pitcher Brad Ziegler, analyzing the drafts in real time as industry professionals play for keeps, providing you the insight on who you should target on your teams leading up to opening day. And Frankie Stanfield is going to be drafting in the this afternoon, so stay tuned. I was listening to a bunch of their coverage yesterday. Really good stuff. And like I said earlier, man, just to get Brad Ziegler's take of former Major League pitcher as to what it was like when he got traded from the Diamondbacks to the Red Sox, the fact that he loves to play fantasy football, couldn't really play fantasy baseball because of the quote-unquote gambling aspects, connotations, the change of money, I guess, but now he could play fantasy baseball, so that's pretty cool. And what it was like, going from the Arizona market where to the Red Sox market, their fan base, how much more passionate. He said that, when he pitched for the Diamondbacks, no one recognized him on the street. And then like a week into his Red Sox career, everybody knew who he was walking down the street. They'd recognize him. So really good insight from Brad Ziegler and good insight from the team, Greg Sussman, Frankie Stanfield, Joe Pisapia. Really good stuff to listen to. So, George, we're talking a little Tampa Bay Rays before commercial, and we were talking Meadows, we were talking Adames. A couple of outfielders, I'll just bring them up. Tommy Pham, injuries had kind of hampered his career early on, but look, shows good patience at the plate. Got traded from the Cardinals last season, kind of lit a fuse on there and batted 343 with the Rays last season, a potential 2020 guy in the outfield.
Yeah, and he'll be back returning to the outfield to the Rays next week. He's been DHing, so I'm a little banged up there, but he's fine as far as that's concerned, so fantasy owners shouldn't be worried about him. He's a guy I don't think is getting enough respect yet. He's up and down in drafts. I guess it depends on who you're playing with. But I like Tommy Pham. I think he's going to be a really good player for the Rays. He's 31. He's not a kid. Not that caught me by surprise, Joe. I thought he'd be like 25, 26. That's a guy you've only heard of for a couple of years now. But he's 31. A little late bloomer there, which, once again, doesn't bother me. We see this a lot in baseball. I know people panic about these things, what's going on here. But he's another guy. Should hit you 20 home runs. I think approach 20 stolen bases. So it's a guy I like. And I have to – listen, this is me because I have to aim for these guys, Joe, because I know I'm not drafting speed early. You know, I know I'm not doing that. So I need to grab my speed somewhere. When you draft, we can't just draft the best players. People forget that when they're drafting. They just draft the best players. Well, then you're going to be devoid in some categories. You know, we need stolen bases. There's 10 categories. You can't – unless you're punting the category, which I – have a hard time saying that's the way you should do it. I think it's very tough to win a league if you're punting stolen bases or punting saves. I don't like doing that at all. It just puts too much pressure to win the other categories. But I need to draft my stolen bases eventually. If I'm not going to draft an 80 stolen base guy, you know, D. Gordon, Hamilton, or someone like that, or I'm not going to draft Whit Merrifield, or I'm not banking on Mondesi, who's going crazy early in my mind in drafts. Third, fourth round, people are taking him because they think he's going to pretty much win that category all by himself. And if I don't get that first round Trey Turner, then where are my stolen bases coming from? It means I pretty much have to get four or five guys who are going to steal 15 to 20 bases. You know, maybe four or five is a little high. Three, four guys that I need that are going to steal me, to, once again, 15, 20 stolen bases. Pham is that. And I love it when it's an outfielder because, once again, we start five. So you're not going to be able to get five great outfielders anyway. So generally, I'm looking for my stolen bases from my outfielders. So Pham is a guy I like because, once again, he's not a one-category guy. I know what 20 home runs are coming. It should come with a plus average. You know, runs generally come along with this as well. I don't think Tommy Pham is getting enough love.
So you're a fan of Pham. So we got to talk him up, but maybe not. It's better off if we don't. This way we get some value in our drafts. Don't want to talk him up too much, but kind of agree with you with what he could bring you. And you mentioned Mondesi, who is doing a better job of it. But, I think he was overdrafted at least early on. I mean, we're talking about a steel guy who in 463 major league at-bats has a 273 on-base percentage. So, I like him, but you got to temper your expectations. Doing a better job of getting on base in spring training, so hopefully that'll fix itself. Kevin Kiermaier, I think he's slated to, if healthy, and that's a big thing with him, be the Rays leadoff guy. I mean, he might hurt you a little bit with his average, but if this guy could ever stay healthy and put together a potential 2020 season.
Yeah, but he's not going to stay healthy. It's because of the way he plays the outfield. He runs into walls. He's diving all over the place on that incredibly hard surface. He's not going to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. He's like a catcher. It's just a matter of time until he's beat up. And he's not going to be able to go. He's going to miss times. And listen, I love the way he plays. I mean, love the way he plays. But you know the injuries are coming. I mean, look at it. Last 3 years, 88 games played, 98 games, 105. He did play 151 and 15, then 108 and 14. And you do the averages today. He's averaging about 110 games a year. No, thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to take him as your fifth outfielder or reserve late? That's fine. I don't have an issue with that. Plug him in every now and then. But it just doesn't help you in enough categories. I mean, I think you're right. If you told me, Joe, he's going to play 150 games, then I think, once again, 15, 20 is very possible. 15 home runs, 20 stolen bases, very possible, if not more. But I'm not banking on that. You know, he's a guy, In head-to-head leagues, I just wouldn't trust him at all. If he gets hurt on a Monday, I'm screwed in a weekly lineup league. So, like I said, he's more of a fifth outfield reserve type for me and not someone I'm targeting whatsoever.
All right. So who's going to close for this team? Is it going to be Alvarado, Jose Alvarado, Chaz Rowe in the mix? I mean, is it Alvarado's job?
It is Alvarado's job. He's the guy you want, and he's a nice value play. Yeah, he's a nice value play at closer here. Listen, closers are tough. All right. You look at this. I know when my strategy as far as drafting a closer is I want one solid guy. You know, and then my second guy will be, you know, pretty solid, but I know he can get replaced. Third guy is pretty much a dartboard throw. Alvarado is in that second slot where he looks pretty good. Because let's face it, as far as solid guys, Trainin, Diaz, Jansen, Chapman, Vasquez, maybe you want to throw a Sooner in there. And that's about it. Then you get a whole bunch of guys in that second tier, Brad Hand, Iglesias, Robertson, Doolittle. I imagine one gets screwed by Kimbrel, wherever he ends up going. You know, Wade Davis in Colorado, Corey Knebel in Milwaukee. Guys I like, Alvarado's in there with them, where they're pretty solid, but, you know, things can happen here. And then after that, you get to the guys where it's just like, you know, okay, let's see what happens here. They may have a job for now. Maybe they'll get the job later. When I go into a draft, I have no problem, Joe. No problem when it comes to closers of drafting a few top setup men. You know, Hader, Miller.
Smart.
Rosenthal. You know, they'll protect your ratios. You know, I'm not drafting four or five of them, but they'll protect your ratios if you have to start them. And generally, it's better off going with these guys than a Major League Baseball fourth or fifth starter that's going to get beat up and wreck your ratios. You know, yes, they'll get a better chance for wins. You'll get more strikeouts. But sometimes I want to protect my ratios, and I have no issue going with an Andrew Miller type, going with a Josh Hader. Hader actually would be a very good play because he's going to strike out a whole bunch of guys. So he'll still help you do strikeouts, just not saves, just not right away. Yes. All these guys like this. I have no problem doing that. So, but generally, I look at guys who I believe could also get saved at some point during the season. You know, sort of trying to, you know, Hader could replace Knebel at some point if things go wrong here. So I look at that as far as things that could pay off down the line. Maybe Sir Anthony Dominguez again in Philadelphia, another guy who
might even at some point be the closer.
I think he's going to be a starting closer for them. So he'll get saves right away. But once he's sort of that dartboard throw guy. That's how I look at things with saves. I don't get all panicky if I only get one or two closers during the draft because you can find saves during the year. If you're going to pay attention, you'll find saves during the year. I mentioned 30 closers. Half won't have the job by July 1st. There are closers losing the job all the time.
Absolutely. And that strategy will work. Just to, you know the rules of your league. Just, you know, make sure that you don't have to have at least 1,000 innings pitched. You know, some leagues require that there's a certain amount of innings that your roster needs to put together over a course of a season. But definitely a good strategy to have. So Rays won 90 games last year. Their over-under number is 84.5. Do you think that they exceed that, George?
I don't think they're winning 90 this year. I don't. I wouldn't put money on this, but I'll take the over again as far as the Rays are concerned. I'll take the over 84, but I think that's a pretty good amount there. I think I might have an 86, 87, somewhere around there. And they're going to beat up on the just like the Yankees and Red Sox. They're going to beat up on the Orioles and Blue Jays. Those two are bad teams here. But the the Rays aren't quite the Yankees. They're not quite the Red Sox, where they can overcome pitching mistakes because they can out-hit everybody. They're a decent hitting team. They're not a great hitting team. So I'll take the over there, but barely.
All right, very good. As we move through the AL East, why don't we move on to the Blue Jays, who were 73-89 last season. Their over-under number is 74.5. And I guess we'll start with the most famous prospect in baseball, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He has been dropped to the minor leagues. He wasn't going to start the season with the team anyway, but dealing with a grade one oblique strain. So you can look for him maybe late April, early May. And, you know, he's one of these quote unquote can't miss prospects.
This was the most convenient oblique injury ever. Right. I mean, they were looking for a reason to send them down because they want to protect the extra year of that they can keep him without him leaving to for free agency, blah, 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 blah. Like I said, the most convenient, ever. That he all of a sudden, oh, yeah, he's got an oblique injury. Now he's not going to be able to come back until mid-April, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter. He was never going to start the season with Toronto anyway. Everybody who was drafting him, I thought was nuts. He was going in round three, round four in every draft. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, for a guy we knew was not going to start the season with the team. So at most, he's going to play 140 mm-hmm. games. And if this injury is true, which once again, I have my doubts that it is, or at least that it's severe as they're making it sound. But if it is, those injuries don't heal quickly. And they can pop up again at any time because generally you really can't test it until you start swinging violently again. So that's going to be a problem. You know, so I'm very worried about him. I don't have him in any league, and I won't because I'm not drafting him in round three. I think that's nuts. I think that's crazy. It's always crazy to draft somebody you know is out 2 to 3 weeks. Just to, right off the bat, he's out 2 to 3 weeks. What? And he's hitting a round two, round three. You know, I'm a conservative drafter. You know, I like to know what a player is going to do for me. And with Guerrero, you don't even know how many games he's going to play. Yes, I think he's going to hit. You know, I think he's going to hit 30 home runs. You know, what else you're going to get from him, I don't know. The man is, he's out of shape. I mean, which is sad for someone of his age. And he is. I mean, he's got the biggest backside I think I've ever seen on a baseball player. I mean, it's like, wow. You know, it's, you know, I guess, I just don't, I'm surprised. You know, when you see that from a player of his age, that he hasn't gotten in better shape here. But he's out of shape. And I don't know if that's ever changed throughout his entire career. So he's a DH waiting to happen as far as baseball is concerned. But he can hit. The man can hit. I mean, when he gets his bat on the ball, when he battles absolutely. It up, it's going to go a long way. He can flick his wrist and the ball is flying. So he will hit when he plays. But how many games are he going to play this year? You mentioned if it's not till May, we're now down to 130 games. You know, I don't understand these people still drafting him around three, around four. Not doing it. He won't be on any of my teams.
Yeah, his ADP, according to NFBC, still 43. So that puts him, you know, in a 12-team league in the third, fourth round. So, yeah, and this is updated today. So still up there. So people still drafting him. So
he's all yours.
We'll see. Yeah. So when I look at this roster, it's a bunch of meh for me. You know what I mean? I'm intrigued with Lourdes Gurriel having a nice spring. Had a decent year last year with the big club in, 305 at-bats. 249 at-bats with 11 home runs, batted 281. So it wasn't overmatched. Batting 370 this spring. Any interest in Gurriel?
Later on in your draft, sure, but not really. When you look at the roster, Danny Jansen, a catcher, fine. You know, we all need catchers. Terrible. And by the way, Joe, I really believe we have to go down to one catcher league, not two. I mean, even in mixed leagues, two catchers, it's just too much. Good luck finding 24 catchers. Yeah, and that's a 12-team league. You playing a 15 league, 30 catchers?
yeah just aren't that's going to happen. Around, I'm with you.
No, it's really down to one catcher. Justin Smoke, fine. Corner infield, hit some home runs, fine. You know, no issues there. Morales, same thing. DH, okay, good luck. You know, but I'm okay with that. Grychuk, I think he has some value. He'll hit some power for you. Mm-hmm. He might hit some home runs. So I don't mind Grammy Grychuk as an outfield of four, outfield of five. That's it. There's no stars here outside of Guerrero when he plays. I think Guerrero will be a star when he plays, but that's it. Other than that, you have a whole bunch of blah. Yeah, there's a reason the Blue Jays are going to be a bad
maybe
team.
Maybe a real late dart throw on Teoscar Hernandez, maybe. But, like I said, a bunch of meh. I mean, Kevin Pillar's got that good glove, but 15-15 potential. But just, you know, not much else there. Well, you mentioned Smoke. Rowdy Tellez is a guy to keep in mind, too. Could he cut into his play? But when we come back... For hour number three of our show, continue breaking down the ALEs, talking fantasy baseball with you. Listen to Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.